Hey everybody, this is Sophie and welcome to episode 76 of the Big Boo Cast. Before we get started today, I just wanted to invite y'all to follow along this next week as Alex and I travel to Kenya with Compassion International. If you've been around for a while, you know that I've been to Uganda and to Ecuador with Compassion, and I'm so excited that Alex will be with me on this Kenya trip. So we're going to get to meet a lot of kids. We're going to be telling a lot of stories about the work that Compassion is doing in and through the local churches in that part of the world. And we would love for y'all to follow along. You can read those stories every day on my blog at boomama.net, or you can follow along on Instagram at boomama205. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I look around the world and I get so overwhelmed by need and I think I don't know what to do to help. This is a great way to help. You can go to compassion.com/Sophie and find out more about that. Thanks, as always, for being here for the podcast, and we hope y'all enjoy episode 76. Hey everybody, this is Sophie. This is Big Mama.
Hey, it's Melanie. It's Big Mama.
And I go to Kenya in 2 days.
Yes, you do. Are you packed and ready to go?
No. Okay. I figured.
That's what I figured your answer was going to be. Do you have a suitcase out on your floor where you're even pretending to put stuff in it?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm packing a carry-on and a big bag to check. And so the carry-on is pretty much packed, like with just, you know, like a change of clothes. I'm going to put my toiletries in there and extra pair of shoes, that kind of stuff. That one's pretty much packed. But the big one is a different story. Although I will say, with Alex going with me on this trip, he's packed. That took him about 15 minutes.
Well, because, I mean, he's a 14-year-old boy. He packed... What, 2 pairs of underwear, maybe a toothbrush, and a pair of Under Armour shorts. Done and done.
He pretty much pulled all his Under Armour, all his basketball shorts, put them in a suitcase, all his dry fit shirts, put them in a suitcase. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And then I said, you've got to have some nice pants and a nice shirt at some point. Put it in the suitcase.
Yep.
Done and done.
Yep, that's it. What else do you need? Oh, golly. Yeah, he's finished. Oh, to be a 14-year-old boy, life packing is certainly a lot easier.
Yes.
And you're going to have to pack like sunscreen A, B, and C. You're going to have to pack different undergarment options depending on the day and what you're going to wear. You're going to have to pack this kind of shirt and that color of shirt. And then what if you don't want to wear that shirt that day? You might need a different shirt. I know.
Yeah, I got it. I got it all.
Yep.
So
yep.
I'm going to work on that tonight, though. I'm going to work on trying to press a few things that need to be pressed before I pack them, and then trying to get everything kind of inside the suitcase. And we'll see how it goes.
Now, do you have a good hat? Do you bring a hat?
Well, you know, when I went to Uganda, I ended up wearing a bandana on my head the whole time.
Oh, that's right. I kind of remember that now.
And then when we went to Ecuador, I had some kind of hat.
We had a jungle hat. We had our jungle fishing hat.
That's right. And so I actually pulled out one of those fishing shirts the other day. I'm taking it with me.
Yeah, you should.
Just in case. You know, I feel like I've said it before and I'll say it again. Compassion will always trick you into some kind of hike. And so some sort of, oh my, look, we are in the middle of nature. And
yes.
So I got one of those shirts out, and then... Do you remember those pants that we bought before we went to Ecuador because we thought they were kind of cute and cargo-y, but also...
Yes, the Old Navy. They were from Old Navy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. They're the hottest things. Like, I tried those. I was going to take them. And they're like, I was like, these are burning up hot. I mean, like, because
they're kind of made of canvas, yeah. aren't they?
They are not super breathable.
Maybe that explains why we were so hot in Ecuador.
Maybe, well, that and the fact that it was 110.
Well, that too. But, you know, now I bought some pants. You're about to laugh at this, but bear with me. So the family, the Schenkel family, we're going on a fishing trip together. June, like, I don't know, sometime in June, mid-June, mm-hmm. we're going on a fishing trip. And so I'm actually going to fish on this fishing trip. We're going with a guide. And so I've had, so Perry has had a big time getting to outfit me in the appropriate fishing gear, you know.
No, like, he's, doubt. Yes, ma'am.
But he accidentally came home, so he had bought me these Magellan fishing pants from Academy, and he bought them for me in a khaki color, and then he made the mistake of telling me they also come in a charcoal gray. And I said, well, then I'm going to need the charcoal gray, not this khaki.
So you have a, I would say, an enthusiastic opposition to khaki.
Yes, khaki just in general, I'm like, it immediately has a frump factor that I felt like a charcoal gray. And I mean, now granted, these are elastic waistband fishing pants. I mean, so it's not like the charcoal gray is going to elevate them to any kind of high style. But so he went to exchange them. Well, he didn't pay attention to what he was doing, and he came home and had brought me some gray shorts. Okay. So that's not going to work, because apparently part of this fishing trip is going to involve me allegedly getting out of the boat and wading through the water to catch fish. And so so my legs have to be covered. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. But so I went back to Academy today, all that to say, and I bought the charcoal gray Magellan fishing pants, and they are very lightweight and very breathable. And I have to say, super comfortable, and the bottom part zips off and becomes shorts.
Well, I have some of those.
Okay. Well, look at you.
I do. I have some. Now, mine are not khaki. They're more of a, they're kind of a dark brown. But I got them when we went to Ecuador, and I don't think I ever wore them in Ecuador.
Okay. All right.
But I saved them. And so I thought about, should I take those to Kenya? But I don't know why I would need them.
Yeah. I don't know if it's just really hot. I mean, I just think sometimes if you have to wear a pant, because I mean, a blue jean is horrendous.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I have three pairs of those, those Old Navy linen pants that I got a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. So I've got three, and they're just wide legged.
That's like perfect.
Thin, yep. Loose. Mm-hmm. So I've got three pairs of those ready to be packed. I actually packed in the carry-on, because, you know, they're just good.
Yeah. Oh, that's perfect then. Mm-hmm. Okay. Those will be great. Those will be great.
Shoes have been a little bit of a handle, because, you know, they encourage you to not wear sandals.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you're in a lot of different terrains and stuff like that. And so somebody had said to me, like, you should get some Keens, but I have Keens don't work with my arch.
Yeah. You and your arch have a lot of issues.
So I just got some gray slip-on sneakers. I think we talked about this last time.
Yes. Yeah. So you did end up finding some sneakers.
Yeah. Just got some great, they're fine.
Okay. Well, and I always think that's where, I mean, when you're in a foreign country like that, I always feel like you can go for you can play the ugly American card and just wear your running shoes.
Yeah. That's going to be me pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Much. I think that's okay. You know what shoes I tried on? Speaking of slippers, and I'm looking them up right now because I can't remember what they were, but somebody talked about them. And I was like, nah. And then I ran in like Rack Room shoes. Do y'all have Rack Room shoes?
We do not have Rack Room here, but we had it in Baton Rouge, so I'm familiar. Okay.
So, you know,
but
it's
no,
like one of the.
That's a lie. We do have Rack Room shoes here.
Okay. It's like, you know, yeah, it's like a DSW type mm-hmm. kind of thing. But they were Skechers, and they were some sort of slip-on, like a Skechers Golden. So I'm looking at them on Rack Room shoes. I don't know if it was the Skechers Golden, but they're basically a slip-on Skechers. And so Caroline and I were looking for shoes for her to wear to, I don't know, one of her things that she has had for school. They're the Skechers Go Walk.
Okay.
And so, and they're slip-on. Now, they've got a couple of different versions of them. But anyway, I was in Rack Room, and while she was looking at all 54 different pairs of sandals she was trying to decide, I thought, I'm going to slip those on and see if they really are comfortable, because I had read that they were. I'm going to tell you, they are so dang comfortable, you wouldn't even believe it.
Well, my sister had a pair of Skechers slip-ons that she would wear like as house shoes,
mm-hmm.
and she loved them so much, I feel like she named them. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. she loved those shoes.
Yeah, and they're not, like, they're pretty, I mean, now, clearly, I did not buy them. I don't think I would necessarily wear them around. I didn't see a pair. But I actually, I'm not offended by them. I mean, I think they're a good, comfortable slip-on shoe if you're looking for such.
Okay. Maybe so, I should run by there tomorrow.
I don't know. The Skechers. So, and they're not, I mean, well, you know, Rack Room always has BOGO going on.
Oh, yeah,
so
they do. You've got to buy one and then you get one 50% off.
Buy one, get one. But they're on sale for $39.99 right now. Plus, then you get another pair for half off.
Okay, I may have to run by there tomorrow.
Yeah, I think they're, I mean, because the ones I tried were like just a gray. So I was like, this is a good neutral, you know, but then they have colors. I don't know. They did not offend me. I was like, that's a decent shoe if I needed a comfortable walk-in shoe.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I'm going to check them out.
Okay. All right. You're going to have to let us know. You're going to have to let us know.
So the other part of my pre-trip preparations besides, you know, I feel like I had kind of an endless to-do list today is that I have been trying to figure out what to watch and read on the plane.
Okay. And have you come up with anything?
Well, tentatively, I thought maybe I might watch. I've never watched Parks and Rec.
I love Parks and Rec.
Everybody loves Parks and Rec.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You would love it so much.
So I thought I might watch that. I watched Hidden Figures yesterday and loved it, the movie.
Yeah, it's amazing. So good.
I bawled my eyes out.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I wish I'd saved it. Like, I wish I had kept it for the plane. But
yeah, to watch again.
Yeah, because I think movies are better sometimes than TV shows.
Yes. Yeah. I've been in a thing. Remember, I think I said last time I've been watching The Office just kind of as something to do. Like, mm-hmm. It's kind of become my like. But I discovered, okay, so this past weekend, Perry and Caroline were gone at a soccer tournament all weekend, and I had this cold, so I felt terrible all weekend. So Saturday, I was just in my pajamas, and I did nothing all day. But I watched a lot of The Office. But what I found was, I started to feel a little agitated by the quick 20-minute, like, I needed something longer.
You wanted to get into a story.
Yes. Like, and I think The Office it's a great like mind break when I've been writing my 600,000 devotionals that I'm in the process of writing. It's a great diversion when you just need a quick, like 20-minute something, but like to watch them one after the other. I was like, I really think Netflix is meant more for like, you need more of a long show or a movie.
Mm-hmm. I know.
For an extended period of time.
So do you have any suggestions for a movie?
Well, you know what? I finally watched this in a suggestion because you're the one that suggested it to me, I think. But so what I ended up renting on Saturday was The Intern, which I had never seen.
Oh, it's darling.
It's so cute. And you had told me it was cute, but I hadn't seen it. Now, you know what I hear everybody rave about is that movie Lion.
Well, that's so funny you say that because it is pulled up right now on my iTunes.
Okay.
This moving drama from real life. A young man travels to India.
Yes.
I think I'm gonna.
Yeah, the first 15 minutes are subtitled, just FYI.
Okay. All right.
I didn't end up watching it. Because it was funny because I was really going to watch Lion Saturday, but it was The Lion or Intern because they're so similar.
Sure.
A romantic, you know, a light comedy type movie or a big drama. But I decided I didn't feel good and I didn't think I was in the place to be able to process. And I was home by myself and I'm always worried that a movie like that could have something disturbing in it. And then I'm going to be sorry I watched it while I was home by myself.
Sure. That's fair.
I felt like The Intern was a safer bet that I wouldn't be disturbed.
Well, I think that was a safe bet, but I think I'm going to rent it.
You know what other movie I told you about is Jackie. Did we talk about Jackie?
Well, I think we did talk about Jackie and the fact that you watched it, but I have not seen it.
Okay. That would be a good option. You would find that. I mean, it's kind of fascinating. And Natalie Portman is really amazing as Jacqueline Onassis. I will say that. So that would be a good one. I'm trying to think, you know, I stay so out of the movie loop. Now, if you and Alex, did y'all go see Fantastic Beasts?
No, we did not.
Okay, you know, that's the Harry Potter about Newt Scamander, and it's actually really, it's cute. We watched it as a family, and we all enjoyed it.
Okay, look at you. So, why did you come through with the suggestions, Big Mom?
Well, I'm just saying, that's clearly, I mean, I wonder, I'm like, God, I don't know why I can't get these devotionals written. Let me tell you about the 74 movies I've seen.
Hey, I'm going to tell you that there's probably a devotional or two in mine that's got some kind of movie like springboard in it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, mine have a couple. I mean, I have a couple of times that I was like, oh, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, listen, you'll take whatever inspiration you can get.
Oh, listen, I mean, I'm I feel like everybody, and it was funny because I guess, I mean, I'm sure everybody in my life, but today Perry walked in and I was sitting there and I was writing and he was like, what are you about to do? And I said, oh, I'm about to leave. I said, I'm just going to finish up this last devotional. And he was like, you're on your last one. And I was like, oh no, I just meant
the last one for now.
But he got as excited about that as I've seen him get up. And I thought, well, he, God bless him. He was hoping so bad that he was going to be able to quit listening to me talk about it. But I did not mean the last one. I meant the last one for this current time.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Mm-hmm. But books, I haven't started a book yet. You know, I said last time I had bought that Rosamund Pilcher book, and I kept thinking about starting it this weekend, but I was not in a reading frame of mind.
Everybody, though, I've read such warm and encouraging comments about that book, about Coming Home.
I know. Everybody seemed to love it. You know, part of, I feel like what has made me not want to start it, I've had this problem with another book that I bought one time, and this one I think I bought it on Amazon. I can't remember, but it's that super old school paperback where it's like super thick and it's tiny. It's real small print. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm so spoiled now to want more of I want like the rom-com version of what the book is. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Where it's got a different cover and it feels bigger in my hand. Like it's not as thick and small and the print's not as small. Mm-hmm. Like I want a reader. Because I immediately look at this one and go, well, I'm going to need my peepers every single time that I try to read any of that book, because I'll never be able to read it with my own eyesight.
And you're going to get a hand cramp. Like if you're holding it in your right hand and flipping pages you're going to get a hand cramp.
Yes. And I just am not ready. I'm not ready to make that commitment.
Maybe you could prepare a couple of weeks with some stretching.
I can do some hand weights.
Some finger weights. Really build up. I'm doing it right now. And just build up those muscles in your fingers.
But see, you laughed, but you knew exactly what I was talking about and what the problem was going to be.
For sure.
Tell me, it's universal. I mean, it's a universal problem.
Hey, this is because, you know, I have carpal tunnel. This is why, like, I like to read on my iPad, because I get stationary, you know, and I just... As Mama would say, and you, or Martha would say, you just touch, and then you just touch, and the pages turn, and then you touch.
I know, and that's really what I should do, is why don't I start getting stuff? I've got Kindle on my Mac. Why do I not put stuff on it? And I've even read books, but I just am not, I can't mentally go there full time.
I get it. Well, I have a Kindle, like an old school Kindle that I really like. I just read more on the iPad because it's illuminated at night, and I do most of my reading, like, usually when I get in the bed at night. And
yes.
So I don't use the Kindle a whole lot, but I may take it with me on the plane just because the battery lasts for a sweet forever.
Yes. And that's a good backup.
Mm-hmm. It is a good backup. That's it. I'm going to make myself a note right now.
Okay. Yeah. Make a pack and note. Make a pack and note so you don't forget that. Now, what is Alex going to do on the plane? Same? Just read and watch stuff?
I don't know. I asked him a little bit ago. I said, have you thought about what you're going to read or what you're going to watch? Mm-hmm. And he said, not really.
Okay.
And I said, well, do you have any books you want to read? And he said, well, maybe we can go to Books a Million tomorrow. And I said, perfect. Well, I think you're probably going to want them downloaded. I don't know that you're going to want to carry, you know, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah,
but I feel like if he would just go through all the books in his room, he would probably find a couple that he has in there but he hasn't read yet.
Yeah, and then he would have some. Well, and then you can always download something if you're desperate.
So, yeah, I mean, we can always get him something, but, you know, probably better to be prepared a little bit.
Yes. So, now, will they have movies on your plane? Will they have the individual? I guess you don't know till you get on it.
My guess is yes. I mean, I think... Okay. I'm betting,
I would think an international flight.
Mm-hmm. My guess is yes, they will have movies and stuff on there.
Okay. Because that was when I flew to New York, whenever that was. I was like, well, this is delightful. But, like, you don't always get it on every plane. You know, depending, it has to be a certain amount of length. I was trying to, a certain amount of.
Miles.
Miles.
Certain amount of.
You go.
Air time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so y'all have 2 more days of school.
We have 2, we really have a day and a half. So we have a full day tomorrow. But it's 2. So Caroline has 2 finals tomorrow. I'm trying to think, what do we have left tomorrow? I think she's got history which so that'll be a tough one. Oh, and then science, but she takes two periods of science because it's like the STEM class. Right. And so science, she said they just watched like part of the movie Interstellar and helped her teacher clean his classroom today. So that was that. And then,
yeah,
I'm super glad we got to school for that.
That's right. You would have hated to miss it.
Yep. And then tomorrow but she did have algebra this afternoon, and then she'll have, history tomorrow will be her hard one. And then she rounds out, she'll have Spanish on Thursday morning, and then she's out of school at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
And then that's it. And then we go to Houston. Then she and I leave for Houston on Friday because she's playing in a soccer tournament in Houston next weekend, mm-hmm. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then we come home, and then we fly to Nashville on Monday.
It's very exciting.
I know, we have a lot going on. It's really, I did not mean for our summer to really start off that busy, but Nashville will be fun because it's a mix of business and fun. So it'll be, you know, and it's not like we're flying to Africa. We're just going to Houston and to Nashville.
Those are still fun trips.
They are. We'll have a good time. So it'll be fun. So that's our plan. So now I'm worried about Hazel. How is she going to cope? She's going to go into some sort of depression.
I think she'll be fine. I think she's just going to, I think she will really treasure her time with David.
Okay, that's good.
You know, like I think she will want to sit in his lap a lot. I think, but like she's been on high alert all afternoon because we pulled suitcases out today. So she just keeps, you know, she keeps kind of going like she'll go to the guest room where I've got that carrying bag out, and then she'll go back to Alex, and she knows something's up.
Yeah, she knows that game, sister. Mm-hmm. She knows. Okay.
So, but she'll be fine. You know, I mean, as fine as Hazel ever is. God love her.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fine in a relative term.
I know. Well, I told Perry the other morning, I guess it was Thursday was when I think I felt the worst. I woke up. Caroline had this cold, although I don't think she had it as bad as me because I'm still getting over it. But she had been sick, and then I woke up like Thursday morning with a sore throat. Yeah, that's right. Because Wednesday night at her graduation, I was like, God, my throat hurts. I feel terrible. And then Thursday morning was my worst, but like got her off to school, and like I got my essential oils going. Mm-hmm. I like got my house dimly lit. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to pile up and I'm going to just do whatever. I'm not going to make myself write devotionals today. I'm just going to let myself rest. And so I got my coffee and I got all settled in, and Mabel was on the couch next to me. And then she got up and proceeded to throw up 3 different times on the rug.
Oh no.
I know, which she never does. And so I ended up having to get up and clean up all the throw up and the whole thing. And so when Perry got home, I said, you're not going to believe. I said, Mabel threw up. And I said, and it's so strange. I said, because she wasn't acting weird or anything. And Perry said, well, that should have been your first clue that something was wrong with her if she wasn't acting weird.
That's right. Well, yeah. Any hint of normalcy is really your sign that something is up, sister.
Yeah. He's like, that's when you should have known. She's not acting weird. Mm-hmm. Something bad's about to go down.
That's right. Truer words have never been spoken.
Mm-hmm. So that's it. So bless what else? Her. I know. God bless him. It's hard to be a neurotic dog.
Well, so last week, of course, I wish you were here. I wished you were here because it was the SEC baseball tournament.
I know. I so want to go. Although I wouldn't have, my Aggies, I wouldn't have been there to see them for long.
Well, I'm going to tell you that I can't remember what day it was. Let's see. We were playing, we had beaten Georgia. We were playing Arkansas. And I was there with Alex and my friend Daphne and her son Davis.
Yeah.
And it was a daytime game. And I think we probably could have kept you entertained even if your Aggies were not there, because here's what happened. We were in the upstairs, and there's this hospitality suite that's awesome. And you can have lunch and stuff. And so we were up in that little hospitality area, and we were sitting at there's like a big, huge window where you can see the game, and there's 2 rows of chairs. And then there's like a bar, kind of like, okay. like a bar you would have in your kitchen that runs all the way the length of the room. And you can sit there like on stools. And so it's like 3 nice. Layers of seats. So we were sitting at one of those bar seats, watching the game. And all of a sudden I looked at Daphne and I said, Daphne, that is Gerald McRaney. That is Gerald McRaney that just walked by. Now, I realize that everyone might not know who Gerald McRaney is, but
I know exactly who he is.
But he was in Designing Women. He played Dashed Off, the writer. Yes.
Uh huh.
And then he was Major Dad.
Yeah. Yes.
And He was on Simon versus Simon.
Yes.
In the 80s. And then most recently, he has been on This Is Us as, what, I cannot remember his name on This Is Us. He's a doctor.
Doctor. Yeah, I was thinking, what has he been in recently? And I couldn't think, but yes, This Is Us. I can't remember his name, doctor, whatever.
And so I go, so I'm in the whole thing. I'm like, I think he's from the South. It makes sense that he would be in this kind of setting. Like, he had on red shorts and like kind of a cream colored shirt, kind of like nice fishing clothes. And I was like, see, it makes total sense. Arkansas's playing. I bet he's a huge Arkansas fan. I've got this whole thing going in my head.
So I send
Jamie Golden, who does the podcast. I send Jamie a picture and I'm like, Jamie, Gerald McCraney is at the SEC baseball tournament. And so she just cheers me on. Like, just.
Yes. Oh, just, yeah. Go.
Meets
yeah.
me with complete enthusiasm because, like, I loved his character so much on This Is Us this past season because I don't know if you remember, but he loses his wife.
Yes.
And so you watch him go through the grief in one episode of losing his wife. And it really, like, for some reason it moved me. I think just because of everything
we've been in that place.
Yeah,
I was going to say, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and I remember telling David afterwards, I was like, if he does not win an Emmy for that episode, there, nothing is just or right in the world. He was so brilliant. It was so touching. And so, anyway, so I told Daphne, I was like, I'm going to go say something to him.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, she said, well, you should. And then Davis, her son, says, you really shouldn't. I really don't feel like you should. because Daphne and I always do things to embarrass him. And I was like, he's like, I don't think you're called to talk to him. And I said, I think I'm called to encourage him because here's the thing. What he did on that show. So we're having this whole discussion and he's like down to our right. And I said, what he did on that show, like, was so meaningful to me. I want to let him know that it mattered to somebody. Like, I want to let him know. So it's seventh inning stretch. Everybody stands up and I look at Daphne and I say, I'm going to talk to him. She was like, you go right ahead.
I'm so happy.
So I marched myself down there. He's on the first row of those seats by the window. I marched myself down there and I sit down right next to him, which Daphne said later, she was like, this is so not your personality. Like, you're the first.
It's really not. That's what I'm
always says, like, let's leave them alone. They're trying to be by themselves. Let's don't say anything. And I was like, I felt so certain that this, and it may have also been because Jamie had told me that it was for such a time as this that I'd seen him. But I felt so certain that I was appointed to encourage him that day.
Yes.
In Hoover, Alabama, at the SEC baseball tournament, like, even if it was just for 30 seconds, and I was all in for it. So, listen, so I go. I mean, I have taken his picture. I have sent it to David, and David is like, oh my gosh, it's Gerald McCraney. I'm like, I know. He's right down here, right beside us. I walk down there. I sit down, and I say, I don't mean to bother you. And he looked at me, and he said, well, you're not going to bother me. And I knew in that instant that it was not Gerald McCraney. It's not his voice. It was not him at all. It was not him at all. But I had committed.
You had a reason.
So I said, I don't mean to bother you. You're not going to bother me at all. And then I thought, how do I get out of this?
Yes. And, yes. And what are you doing later? Would you like to go out for drinks? I mean, where do you go?
Where do you go with that? And so I said, I don't mean, Alex just walked in. I'll tell this part of the story later, but I'll put this picture up because Alex took a picture of me talking to him.
It was eventful.
Yeah, it was eventful, but I'll get to that in a minute. So I had started with, I don't mean to bother you. Oh, you're not going to bother me. Realization, it's not him. And I have struck up a conversation with a man I do not know.
Yes. Yes.
And I said that you look just like Gerald McCraney. And he said, well, no, nobody has ever told me that. And I said, well, do you know who Gerald McCraney is? I do know who he is. If I could replay it in my, like, somehow, I would probably never go back there again. Like, I would just never. I would never show but my listen, face there again.
He's telling his friends, listen, because I'm assuming if you mistook him for Jill McCraney, he looked like an older gentleman. And so maybe what he's telling his friends is, y'all aren't going to believe that I was at the SEC tournament and this cute young blonde came up and I think she was hitting on me. Listen, and you might have made his whole day.
Well, you
might
have made tell his you whole day. By the time I left, I had met his friend he was there with. We had some people, some Mississippi people in common. The man was from Chattanooga. Like, they were just down there to watch some baseball. He was not even an Arkansas fan. And,
he was just in his red.
And then but I wanted to say, then why did you dress like one? Like, yeah.
Don't wear those colors.
All I could think of was the fact that you were on Designing Women, and the creator of that show is from Arkansas, and somehow she brainwashed you into being an Arkansas fan. I mean, like, I figured out the whole thing in my head. So we talked for like 10 minutes. I get up, I go back to our seats, and Daphne was like, look, and I could see where she had videoed it, and I went, yeah, it wasn't him. It was not him. It was not Gerald McCraney. It was not even a little, not remotely Gerald McCraney. And I mean,
so happy.
So Alex has a picture of me that he took of me. At some point we stood up. I guess he was trying to help me leave. And of me with my hand on my hip, just a talking. But I'm not kidding. I'll post that picture and y'all will say, yes, ma'am, you're right. He's a dead ringer for Joe McCraney. Like,
for Joe McCraney. Mm-hmm. Okay. But nobody has ever told him that.
Well, they have missed an opportunity because he looks just like him. But I'm telling you, like, when I heard his voice and I thought, that is not the voice of Dash Goff, the writer.
He does have such a distinctive voice that you would immediately know.
Such a cadence that you would immediately know. And so, anyway, I don't know. I mean, it was an awkward 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. I'm just as happy about that. And listen, and maybe, I don't know, maybe someday you'll get to actually meet the real Gerald McCraney.
Oh, well, I'll never say a word to him if I see him. I mean,
because you won't ever doubt. And maybe that's the thing. Maybe what we've hit upon is the appeal of Gerald McCraney as a character, as a doctor, and as Dash Goff, and as all that. Is there something about him that is kind of comfortingly familiar? Because maybe he looks like every man USA, and you experienced that when you saw him. His clone.
That could be. Here, I want to text you this picture right now, and I'll put it up on the podcast.
Okay.
But I'm going to text you this picture, and you zoom in on that and tell me if you wouldn't have done the same thing. And don't laugh at me, because I really do have my hand on my hip talking to him and his friend. Did you get it?
No, I haven't gotten it yet. Oh, wait, here it is. Oh, yeah, you sure do have your hand on your hip.
Yes,
sister.
Ma'am, I do.
I've got to zoom in. Well, you look real cute in your maroon shirt.
Well, I was themed out for the game.
Oh, yeah. He for sure looks like Gerald McCraney. Yeah. He for sure. Yeah, he does.
Thank you.
Yeah, he does.
Well.
Yeah, I think it was an easy mistake. And the shorts, the whole thing. But listen, you made a new friend.
Hey, I told, because Daphne was like, what would Gerald McCraney be doing at the SEC baseball tournament? I was like, he's on hiatus. Like, just like I know the schedule of, you know, all the television shows. But anyway, we laughed about that all night long. Because I'm telling you what, like, for me to usually be so timid in those situations, I went in strong. Like, I went in committed. I had a word of encouragement that I wanted to say to the man that was not Gerald McCraney. And then when I realized he was not, I had to somehow, like, backpedal out of that thing.
Because then it would have been awkward if you had given him the word that you had for Gerald McCraney.
Let me tell you about what his performance has meant to me.
He inspired me at a time when I've had a year that's been full of some emotional upheaval.
Had a very difficult year. And but I couldn't talk about it. So instead, we talked about Chattanooga. We talked about, I mean, I don't even know. We talked about.
Oh, so happy. That makes me so happy.
All manner of things. But
you know what happened there is I think about the little puzzle pieces that all came together. Is it's that, you know how I always say, I believe your family, the Sims family, especially you and sister, are kind of like detectives. Like, y'all sort stuff out. It's kind of like that went haywire. It's kind of like that was, you had sleuthed it all out, but you had come to a very erroneous conclusion.
That's exactly what it was. I had worked that whole thing. My sister really should have been a detective, but I'd worked that whole thing out in my head, and it made perfect sense. It made perfect sense. But alas, Sherlock, that was not.
It did. You had a hypothesis. You had all your different facts. You had all the reasons that he would be there. You had it. You had it all figured out. Well, the only thing that was wrong was your conclusion.
How many different internet related theories have I had over the last 10 years? A couple.
And I
have been very accurate about a lot of them.
You've been to the point that now if you call me and you're like, I was reading something and I think that blah, blah, blah. And I mean, I'm just at that point, to me, it's fact. I mean, I've learned enough that I'm like, if you get on the scent of something, I'm like, you know, it's right. You're right. Mm-hmm. I trust it.
I will tell you that this past Sunday, our pastor said that we needed to discern our discernment. And I thought, well, that's for me. Like, we
don't go up to... If you ever think you see Delta Bark somewhere, just you need to know.
I'm going to tell you, I was on the lookout for her last week. I mean, I was like, he had a wedding band on. I was like, maybe Delta's here. Maybe this is the whole thing. And there was a point where I was like, look how great this is that Gerald McCraney is at the SEC baseball tournament and everybody's leaving him alone. Well, that's because everybody knew it wasn't Gerald McCraney. But nobody told me that. Nobody told me that.
Well, you were so busy coming to your own conclusions
that
it wouldn't have mattered because you were bound and determined. And I can imagine, I mean, I'm going to say I've never met Jamie Golden, but I'm going to say that just by listening to her on the podcast, I feel like she is a person who could probably talk me into a lot of things.
Oh, yes, ma'am. She could.
I'm going to say that she could turn my opinion and talk me into a lot of things that maybe I know against my better judgment might not be the smartest thing, but I could get caught up in the whirlwind of that and for sure decide, yeah, I think this is a totally normal idea. I think this is okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You get the go ahead from her on that kind of thing, and you really feel a commitment that you didn't know was inside you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean that as a compliment. I mean, I think that, you know, you can inspire normally very sensible people to maybe do something that is outside the immediate realm of sensibility, but that's okay. Cause I'm going to always err on the side of caution there.
Yeah. Normally I would, but again, to myself. See, I know. Jamie makes me not cautious, and it's not Jamie's fault. Daphne will attest. I was fully committed almost instantly, but I will say Jamie's encouragement, you know, was, and we had just been to dinner a couple of weeks ago and we saw somebody who was in something. I don't even know who it was, but it was somebody who's been on Grey's Anatomy and Jamie knew instantly who he was.
And, yes.
And so
when she confirmed for you.
Yeah. So when she was like, you know, oh my gosh, let me see what she was like, you've got to say something. Maybe she didn't say that. That's what I heard.
She might have just said yes. That is Gerald McCraney. What she actually said was yes.
Oh, she said there is never a wasted attempt to meet a famous person.
Oh, I think I think that's good advice.
Oh no, that was after. She said you must speak to him. You must go speak to him.
Oh, see? Okay. Mm-hmm. I think that was, and listen, and now you know, because what if you hadn't? And then what if all that time you're like, well, I can't believe that I was at the SEC tournament with Gerald McCraney and I didn't even tell him anything.
I know. You're right.
And now you don't have to worry about it. It's not the road not taken because you took that road. Wrong turn.
Right. And made friends with two older gentlemen.
That's right.
Who really liked college baseball.
That's exactly right. So it was not an opportunity lost.
Hey, he could not have been nicer. I just made a little bit of a fool of myself.
Well, that's the good news about being at the SEC tournament is you think you're surrounded by nice Southern folks who have good manners and who are just happy to talk to fellow baseball lovers who are out there enjoying the game.
Right.
It all works out.
I know. When we were going in the first day for the games, we got to the place where I tripped and fell last year. And Alex sort of, as if I were 89, sort of was like, whoa. But there is a distinct place where the concrete turns into tile.
Yes. Where it could be tricky. Clearly. Well, and maybe the SEC tournament, maybe what it... because this is the second year in a row now where you've had maybe what we might want to call some sort of foible at the SEC tournament. But maybe what has happened is it's the result of how long the school year is and you're a little bit tired. Your brain's a little bit tired. And so maybe you don't process information as clearly as you might at another time. Plus, it's the excitement of being out of the baseball fields.
Sure. Well, and you know, I'd had an outpatient thing done the Friday before, and my mama, I promised my mama would say that I walked up to him because of all that anesthesia I'd had.
Yeah.
She would vow. Well, you would have never said anything to him if you hadn't been under all that anesthesia just a few days before.
That's probably
right. You know how it does she. You know how it does she.
Well, that's supposedly what happened to Tiger Woods.
Bless him. I'm so sad for him.
I feel so bad for him. And listen, I know, but I'm just like, poor guy. I'm like, I don't know. I think maybe it's a, I feel like somewhere there's a cautionary tale in having your child be overly successful at anything.
I think the same thing. I think I mean, we're I just not meant that. To, we're not to, I mean, we're just not built for it.
Mm-mm,
we're
mm-mm.
just not built for it.
Because I'm like, I just, it's like, it wasn't, I don't know. And you hope it's all going to be okay. But I'm like, I feel bad for Tiger. I'm I just like, too. Good night. So
I do hope it's all going to be okay.
I do hope it's, yeah, I feel bad for him. I think about, well, because I thought about that, which I'm so relieved. And I just saw the headline that, you know, Joni from Happy Days, that she did die of cancer. It was not drug overdose. And, you know, people have wanted to speculate. And then her husband came out and said, no, she had cancer. And so I'm like, see, I'm glad that didn't end up. I mean, that's sad, but I'm glad it wasn't. I hate when somebody dies of a drug overdose because I feel like that's such
so
a waste.
Sad.
It's
so tragic.
Very sad. Yes.
I'm rooting for Tiger.
Yeah, I know. I hope he's going to be okay. I hope he's going to be okay. But that mugshot did not look good. Did not paint a pretty picture.
Well, if I happen to see anybody who looks like Tiger in an airport while I'm gone, I'll be sure to step in there and encourage him.
Give him an encouraging word. Tell him, say, listen, I just talked to Gerald McCraney at the SEC baseball tournament, and I feel compelled to
make
a word of encouragement over you to let you know that brighter days are always ahead. Chin up, Tiger Woods.
Chin up, Tiger Woods. Hey, what? Where are the A's playing in the regional?
We're playing in Houston on Friday, and we play Baylor first.
I'm sorry.
I know. And here's the thing. This Aggie baseball team is so, I think we could win the whole regional. I think this team could end up at the College World Series, but I feel like when the wheels are on, they're on. And when they fall off, they just fall off. So I hate to not sound optimistic about it. I just don't know. Our closing pitching situation is real sketchy.
Well, I mean, you know, we were beating Florida in that quarterfinal game 3-0, and then in the eighth inning they scored 11 runs, and I mean we couldn't get out of it. It was an hour. Daphne and I had just said this game is really moving pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And then that top half of the inning, no joke, lasted an hour.
And that's just, it'll just suck the life out of you when you're just sitting there watching your team and they cannot stop, and you feel so bad for them too, because you're like, you know, they're like, dude, I'm so tired of standing here on second base. Make the bleeding stop. But they can't, you know, like you're just there. And it's like, then I feel like everybody gets so frazzled that it just snowballs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So
I hate that. Where are y'all?
We are in Hattiesburg at Southern Miss, which I just saw right before we got on the whatever you call it, Skype, that it's sold out, which is not a surprise. Between USM and state people, it will be, and South Alabama's in that regional too. So they'll have a great crowd. They'll pull, you know, big crowds for that. And then that feeds into the super regional in Baton Rouge, which, you know, is a breeze. I mean,
who doesn't want to go play LSU in Baton Rouge?
Yeah, you're really teed up for success, I feel like.
That's really going to work out well.
Hey, but maybe, you never know. I always tell Alex, anybody can beat anybody on any given day.
That is absolutely true.
So that's one of my go-to motivational phrases. Anybody can beat anybody. But
there's a movie called Any Given Sunday.
This is true.
Exactly. It's funny. Well, speaking of LSU, well, first of all, I will say Aggies, same deal. I mean, Houston, it's a brilliant choice for a regional, and with Baylor, because they'll pack them in. Mm-hmm. I mean, because you've got all those alumni right there for both schools. So that's good from that standpoint. But when you brought up LSU, Gully, apparently, I just need you to appreciate the gravity of this, that Gully had a conversation with Jackson, because he'll be a sophomore this year. And she said, you know, just as we start thinking about colleges, and she said, you know, I know everything's always been A&M, but I don't want you to feel like that's what you have to do. And I mean, if we want to go look at some other places, and we can certainly keep our options open and just whatever. And he's like, yeah, I think I might want to go look at LSU.
and I'm
going to tell you, we've kind of been in a dark place about it. I said, I can't. So that's fine. And I go, but what if he moves there and we all go to the game that's now going to be on Thanksgiving, and he's going to be over there chanting Tiger Bait, Tiger Bait. I was like, I can't. It's too much for my heart to take.
I'm going to tell you something, though. You know I have deep affection for the Tigers.
Yes, I know.
And
I know.
Here's the thing. If he were to go there, like, I don't know many, he would be well taken care of.
Yes, I know.
That's the most family-oriented environment I have ever lived in when we were down there. And I feel like to be a student in the middle of that would have to be oddly comforting. I mean, as crazy as those games are at night, I would just think anybody who goes to school down there is going to find themselves in the middle of somebody's family. Somebody's going to take them in, feed them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, they are, and that's all fine. But Gully laughs at me because I get annoyed with her boys because Will went through an Oregon phase when Marcus Mariota was a quarterback, and there was some, like, he wanted an Oregon jersey, like, that Christmas. And, like, I finally said to him, like, and Gully was like, okay, we're looking. And I said, finally, I go, Will, why do you even want an Oregon jersey? That doesn't even make sense. Like, I got, she was she's trying to be a bigger person about it. I'm like, no, that's dumb. You don't even need an Oregon jersey. Why do you even care? Like, that's not our school.
Mm-hmm. So looking for some loyalty.
Yeah. I like a little loyalty. So I'm like, we've dragged you dum-dums to all these A&M events all over the years.
Sister, and you don't have to tell me. I mean,
we've done our best to brainwash. And so we don't need y'all bailing out on us now wanting to go to Louisiana. So
I will say that Aggie's, uniforms the day y'all played in the tournament, that first round, I felt that day they were some kind of good.
Yeah, we have great uniforms. There's no doubt.
The ones that say Texas Aggies, the white ones.
Yes, I love
those. Are fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
So good.
I love those. Listen, if you can't play good, you might as well look good.
Might as well look good, and they look great. They really did.
Yeah, they know how to nail the uniforms. Now, our girls, on the other hand, I have to give a shout out. Our girls' softball team is going to the College World Series.
I saw that.
So I am very exciting for our girls and our sweet little pitcher who pitched the last two games. She had just lost her daddy the week before to cancer, and she came back to be with her team and pitched and led them to the College World Series.
See,
which just kills me.
I wonder what was in me when I was in high school when girls didn't play sports like they do now. What was in me that longed to be a champion? You know what I mean? Like, there was something in me, because it's just like when Mississippi State's women went to the Final Four. And, you know, when we beat Baylor to go to that game, that was the third year anniversary of little Morgan William when her daddy had died. And, like, there is something about watching those girls play at that level that makes it, like, it just completely blows me away.
I agree. I totally agree. There's something, I mean, because I'm like, just the grit and the determination and just to say, like, I mean, because apparently she had gone home to be with her daddy because I guess they knew that the end was near and whatever. And, like, you know, and basically it was like her teammates, of course, totally understood. But then, like, for her to, like, up and decide, like, no, I'm coming back. I want to be with my team. I'm going to do this. And, like, she didn't have a great start on Saturday or Sunday, but, like, they stuck with her and, like, she did it and she pulled through. And I'm like, just, I don't know. I just love a story like that. It feels redemptive somewhere. And I know that it doesn't bring her daddy back, but it makes me happy to think that it gives her some joy.
You just see, like, that there's some character there. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? There is some, I don't know. Yeah. That kind of stuff just makes me.
Yeah.
Kind of makes me want to stand up.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not going to quit on your team. Mm-hmm. So I know. So anyway, so that's it from the sporting world. And that's pretty much about all that's been going on here.
Okay. Well.
All right. Well.
That's I guess pretty much all that's been going on here.
Okay. Well, now I'm just waiting. We've got Favor is coming to deliver a pizza, so I'm waiting for our pizza to get here, and that's pretty much it.
Okay. Well.
Okay. Big stuff.
Yes. You just
enjoy that. We've got all kinds of things coming. Listen, it's going to be great. So, all right. Well, good luck packing the rest of the night.
Thank you.
And, you know, keep us posted. And I guess at this point, we won't hear from you till you get back from Kenya. So you can catch us up on all the shows and things you read. That's and all right. That on the
Well, place. I'll be on the blog. So maybe on the blog.
Oh, that's
I probably won't mention what I've watched on the plane on the blog, but maybe, you know, I don't know. But I will be posted on the blog.
Yeah, you'll be blogging every day. And those are always my favorite. I love reading the post about everything that's going on and what y'all are seeing and all that stuff. So I plan to pile up and live vicariously.
Oh, good. Well, and Alex is going to blog too.
Oh, he is?
Mm-hmm.
On your blog?
On my blog. Not every night. Maybe just a couple of times, but he's gonna blog too.
Oh, well, I can't wait. Okay, well, I'm super. Now I've got something to be excited about. Okay. No, because I didn't have anything, and now I've got something.
Listen, whatever gets you through.
I'm super. This is better than seeing Gerald McCraney. I'm just super excited.
Well, yeah, it is, because you know what? I didn't really see Gerald McCraney. I don't know if mentioned that.
So it is better than seeing the fake Gerald McCraney.
It is.
So.
It really is. Okay.
All right. Bye,
we'll talk
everybody.
To y'all later. Bye, everybody. Okay. Bye.